Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
So it's by now you figured out it's going to be about miracles today. Miracles. I have some miracle stories. One of my miracle stories, and I kind of like it because it involves a couple of members of the clergy. All right. So we go into somewhere probably around rural Kansas where there is a Protestant minister. I'm not going to say whether he was a Baptist or a Lutheran or Presbyterian or whatever. But anyway, he had two parishes that he served, which were small little churches, and it was about 10 miles between the two of them, an earlier morning service in the one town, and then he had to drive 10 miles out into the country, way in the boonies, and have another service, which was a little later in the morning. And so since the time was tight, you can guess, unlike almost all clergy that I know, this one was speeding, driving a little bit too fast. And as he is driving along and just about out of control, a rabbit crosses the road, but didn't make it all the way across. Boom, collision, and there's a rabbit lying on the side of the road. He stopped the car. He felt so terrible that by his breaking the law, a poor innocent animal had been hurt, probably even dead. And so he's looking at it when all of a sudden there's another car that comes by. And it happens to be Father O'Brien, shall we say. Yeah. Okay, Shannon. Father O'Brien. And he had just finished the Mass in that town where, Pastor so-and-so had begun. And now on his way to St. John's by the gas station in the next town. And he stopped because he recognizes his friend there. And he says, "Hey, what's the problem? You got a problem with your car?" And he says, "No, look." And he points to that rabbit there. He says, "Oh, I feel so bad." He says, "I can understand, but maybe I can do something about that." He reached into his pockets, pulled out a little flask, and he took the cap off and made a sign of the cross and then poured it over the rabbit. The rabbit, perked up its ears, opened its eyes, sat up, and ran off. "Wow," he says, "that was amazing. What a miracle that was, Father O'Brien." He says, "What was that, holy water?" And he said, "No, hair restorer." Okay. All right. Hey, guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. You outclassed last night's service, and I'm not going to tell the second one that I told there, because that one bombed. Okay. Miracles, we can joke about miracles, but miracles are serious business. God is serious about miracles. Miracles did happen back there in those biblical days. Miracles do happen in our time as well. Well, let's get a little definition. And, of course, I have to go Google this, a definition. And this is what it said: a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of divine agency. Okay. Something that just doesn't follow the natural trajectory of, like our sicknesses, which go down like that. But, and just things in life say, "Wow, it shouldn't have happened. Was that just coincidence?" No, something greater than coincidence, because the law of averages and so forth, just no way. Statistically impossible. So, miracles. We're going to talk about miracles then, and we're going to talk a little bit about miracles now in our day. Now, a major feature of the ministry of Jesus was that he performed miracles. His ministry was just full of miracles, just like I read from the fourth chapter of Matthew. And they just brought multitudes to him. And what did Jesus do? Come back during office hours? No. He said, "I heal you." And there was the power of Jesus that just went out into these people. And as we're going to unpack this thing, we're going to see it's the same power that created the world. It's the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead. But we're going to go back into the Old Testament now. In the Old Testament, there is a testimony of the origin of the universe and the divine presence of God, the divine activity of God in the conduct of the life of this universe. God of miracles throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, even creation is a miracle, isn't it? Because when you say something to someone, like you give a command to your children, what happens? Nothing. Okay. But when God would made a command to nothing, what happened? Let there be light, and there was light. And each of the 6 days, life emerged. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars, and then life. And what a beautiful thing as God, the God of miracles, was making a creation, a beautiful thing. This was all done directly by God. And then after the creation, there are things like, a flood. There are things that are done that, in one sense, it seems this is not according to the ordinary conduct of life in the universe, but it happens. And somehow, God is able to do all this without disrupting everything so that it all flows into chaos. I mean, the impossible can happen. And yet, the world is able to go on in a wonderful way. There was a confusion of languages. There were the whole Exodus complex of miracles, parting of the Red Sea. And then there were some miracles that were done by God's servants. Elijah, Elisha, Joshua, Samuel, Moses, and so forth. But now let's move on to the miracles of Jesus. This is the continuity of the Heavenly Father's merciful action toward His children. It evidences in that in the Messiah Himself, Jesus the Messiah, and it's predicted by a prophet, Isaiah, in the 61st chapter of his writing. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, who is that upon? It is upon the Messiah who is to come. That would be Jesus. And so Jesus quotes this, it is written for us in Luke 4, as he is in the synagogue, and he's explaining what all this stuff is that's going on. He says, well, it's upon me because he, the Heavenly Father, has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And the oppressed definitely need miracles. So here's Jesus. Jesus is at his work. He's in his mission. What is he doing? He's reclaiming lost people. He's restoring God's creation. He's reordering human lives. He's repairing the damage that sin, Satan, and death do to people. Things that have been distorted are now being brought back into the original plan and pattern, blueprint that God had in his mind even before time began. God's working that out. Now, these miracles of Jesus, you can have maybe break them into categories. You know, so many miracles of healing. There are miracles of deliverance from demonic powers and influences. There are raisings of the dead, command over nature, like stilling a storm at sea. You have to have a command over nature if you're going to walk on water or turn water into wine. God does a bunch of miracles with water. Say nothing about baptism. Okay, these are signs, wonders, and it says the people were absolutely amazed, and they praised God for what was going on, and they were just like, they were dumbstruck by this. People recognizing the authority that now was going beyond the natural world into the supernatural, ordinary laws of nature, the trajectories that we took typically experience in illnesses, all of these things now being changed. Miracles. What are the miracles? Well, we can say one thing they are, is they're a sign that the kingdom of God has come. Signs of the kingdom itself. Evidences that God is at work and he's moving against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of bondage, the kingdom of all the pain and all the misery and all the problems that seem to affect our lives. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is a sign that says, right here, you are here. You are here where the kingdom is. And the kingdom of darkness has got to be in retreat when Jesus enters the scene, as a matter of fact, from retreat to ultimate defeat. God of miracles. Ain't no grave going to hold him in. Okay. It's the power of light. That's the title of the sermon today. The power of light, and it advances against the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus is always addressing human misery, human needs, and he demonstrates deliverance over demonic bondage, over demonic deception, and over demonic injury to human life. Some of the miracles that are done by Jesus actually have mediators. Just say he uses the hands of people to do these sometimes, like the hands of the disciples. And after the ascension of Jesus, they're like Peter and John. You know, they heal a lame man at the temple gates. Then it continues on. The Apostle Paul. Many people are healed as a result of that. And then came the end of the apostolic age. Did the miracles end? No. By the way, it wasn't the apostles who were doing those miracles. It was Jesus that was doing the miracles. And every miracle said, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. The miracles are proclamations of the kingdom as well as things that address human misery and human need. When it is done in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, God says, I did that. People don't do miracles. Jesus does miracles. And then there are some other people involved sometimes too. And they didn't know that a miracle was going to be happening. How about those servants at the wedding in Cana? They had to carry the water. And Jesus did the miracle after they did their part. What about the guys that carry this the body, you know, on a gurney, shall we say, of this paralyzed man who can't get to Jesus himself. He can't walk there. As a matter of fact, you're probably scared to death that these four guys in the four corners, they're carrying this man to see Jesus. You know, hey guys, be careful. You know, don't bump into that. And then when they can't get near Jesus and they have to go up on top of the roof, can you imagine this guy scared to death and they let him down on ropes into the midst of Jesus? But when Jesus saw not this man's fear, these guys' faith, let's assume four of them, saw their faith, he said, be of good cheer. Hey, cheer up. What? Your sins are forgiven. Well, now that scandalized the teachers of the law and the Pharisees that were there because they knew only God can forgive sin. And Jesus, he recognized what was going on because, you know, what doesn't he know about us? He knows everything. He knows your very most intimate thought. And he said, well, tell me, what is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Oh, you know what? Rise up and walk is easier because you didn't have to die on the cross first for that. But for the sins to be forgiven, that took a lot on the part of Jesus and was going to be. He was going to go all the way to the cross so that sins could be forgiven. And in that, he was breaking the bondage of the enemy by that cross, and that would make it possible for gracious miracles to happen in people's lives. So it addresses the core issue. This is what the miracle does. Addresses the core issue first and foremost, before anything else, your sins are forgiven. See, God is passionate in his desire to reconcile the kids to their dad. That's what he's after. He wants them to be able to say, Abba, Father. That's the most intimate way of speaking to God, Abba, Daddy, my Daddy. And he wants that kind of relationship. You know what? He wants that relationship with you even more than you want it. He's thinking about you all the time. Sometimes I forget about him. Sometimes my thoughts go other places. But you know what? His thoughts are never away from me or from you. Now, this, by the way, is we're setting up a whole series of miracles, Jesus coming into the world. Now, you think in order for him to forgive our sins and for him to bring that gift of healing into our lives, a whole series of miracles are involved here. We're going to go all the way back into the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we could go all the way back to early on, third chapter of Genesis, when there is a promise of a Messiah to come, a Savior to come. So that's a miracle that way, way back then, thousands and thousands of years ago, that it would be told. This is going to happen. And then each one of the prophets who spoke about the Messiah who was going to be coming, how did they know that? Well, it was a miracle. The Holy Spirit did a miracle for them to understand and then to be able to speak that and for that to be recorded for us in the Old Testament scriptures. Miracles. And then the miracles begin to culminate when there is a conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. A miracle. The virgin birth. A miracle. And God just bringing that to be, and we call that the incarnation. That's a miracle. It is a totally impossible, biologically impossible thing for that to happen. Now, if that much could happen then and there, including all the compassionate miracles of Jesus, like feeding 5,000 hungry people and raising up the son of a widow from the dead, and just doing all these things. Wow. And then finally, his own resurrection. Doesn't that tell us something important about we too? You know, if we die with him, we'll also rise with him. In his resurrection is our resurrection. We become the subject of incredible miracles. To be born again, all over again, to get a brand new life in the place of the old one, isn't that some kind of a miracle? In Ephesians 2:5, I want you to get this, where it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We are raised up together with him. So God is restoring. In Jesus, God is restoring everything that he had in mind when he first thought about you before time began. He wants the restoration of sanity, so he casts out the demons that drive people insane. And then he restores people who are sick. You know, those who have fevers, those who have various disorders, those who have paralyzed limbs. As a matter of fact, going way back into creation, when he touches someone, when he lays hands on them, it's like the Heavenly Father at creation on the sixth day takes a lump of clay and he forms it with his own hands. And Jesus is replicating that whole matter of creation because it's a brand new creation that he is bringing about in our lives. And then he also reaches into the senses. Not only the sanity, not only toward the sick, but now the senses as well. For example, when blindness drives a person into deep darkness and when deafness isolates an individual, what comes forth from Jesus? So many of those miracles that involve the sight and hearing. There's something that comes out of the mouth of Jesus. He even uses his own saliva. And doesn't that remind you about when God breathed in something from the Word, the mouth of God, and that we do not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he brings about that wholeness, the breath of God, breathing life. And your new life, your new birth is the breath of God in you. So in those, let's just summarize the miracles of Jesus, where he revisits the acts of creation. He reverses the curse of sin, death, and the devil. He restores what has been broken. And then he rehearses our resurrection by his own. Okay. Well, one more thing we should think about and look at. And that's a question. Is Jesus doing miracles today? Is Jesus doing miracles today? Is he restoring lives today? Is he repairing and is he healing brokenness today? Do you have any brokenness inside of you that God can't heal? Huh. Well, impossible, huh? Impossible. I've been, dealing with this issue. It just seems impossible. Well, seems is probably right, but it isn't. Now, the miracles of Jesus, let's think about that. There was a continuity of the miracles of Jesus through the hands of the apostles. But we are not here cessationists. Cessationists would say they ceased, all miracles ceased when the last apostle died. No, they didn't. Throughout history, we have great evidences of miracles that took place. God having done and continues to do. But he doesn't need to now because we got modern medicine, right? Oh, well, God may choose to heal through medical means. God may choose to heal just by saying a word. God can do it with a touch. And by the way, Oftentimes, God does do that. If I were to say, would you be, if you have a story about that, would you be willing to come forth, come here and share it? I think that we would be here until at least noon, because there would be so many beautiful stories. I'm sure that many of you know, you have experienced where God somehow miraculously, unexpectedly intervened in your life in some special way to bring a blessing, something that you deeply desired, or maybe something you didn't even know you had a need of. And in my years of ministry, and particularly after a point that said, you know, God opened my mind and my heart, so, you know what? What I thought was impossible isn't impossible anymore. Now, I don't know all the formulas and I don't know all the right words to make it all happen, but okay, sometimes you can say, oh, there are, it's just a coincidence. Okay, a couple. Well, the guy whom we had known for some time, and he was a very eligible bachelor, but years were going by, and you know, we needed to get this guy hooked up with somebody and get him married. Well, there was a young widow, actually, in the church. We said, you know what? Those two, they would be an awesome team, wouldn't they? So we said, hey, Mark, you're going to go to Bible study with us every, it was like every Wednesday morning. We're going to meet at Brahms, and we're going to do this. And he said, well, okay, if I have to. And so we began to encourage him to start thinking about this particular girl. You know, yeah, isn't she wonderful? Oh, she's such a great, you know, and she would make a great wife for somebody, maybe like you. And so eventually he broke the ice. He invited her out. But, you know, she was a lovely lady, and there were others that were pursuing her. And so, but she was rather drawn to Mark, and she knew he was a godly man. And so we said, you know what, you're going to have to make your move pretty soon. And so he said, okay, I'm about ready. And he hinted to her, and she sensed, Lord, if you want me to marry that man, would you do the impossible? Would you have him bring me strawberries before the end of this week? Now, this is January, and you don't raise strawberries in Oklahoma in January. So what happened before the week was over? There he appeared at her door with strawberries. She knew. Okay. Is that coincidence? Is that coincidence? All right. No. okay. I'll tell you one about my daughter, Amy, and she's in elementary school. She had seen Mom and Dad, you know, pray just about, you know, anything happened, you know, let's pray. You know, they must have gotten sick and tired of that, but then they also saw the results of that prayer, and they thought, hey, you know what, maybe this whole thing works, let's try it out. So they were sick and tired of school and said, wouldn't it be great up in Michigan to have a great big snowstorm so that we wouldn't have school tomorrow? Okay, so what did she do? She got on the phone, started her own little prayer chain with all her classmates, and they all prayed. Now, we said, okay, now, we hope this doesn't maybe destroy her faith, because there is no chance, according to the weatherman, that there's going to be any snow. Well, there was a blizzard, and there were 3 days off of school. Yay! Now, was that coincidence? Was that coincidence? Sometimes, you know, I've experienced where God has literally healed a person supernaturally, miraculously. And you know, I don't claim that I've got the gift of healing, but you know, once in a while, God has chosen to just answer a prayer, or when we do, like it says in James 5, where you anoint with oil and pray over and lay hands on the sick, and it says, and they will be healed. There was a guy, his name was Frank, lived about two houses away from church. It was when, you know, the church up on the hill when I was there. And he would come by and he'd talk to me, but he said, I'm an agnostic. So, you know, you and your wife could come to the classes and, you know, just kind of see and what this is all about. And so he came, because his wife, she was a believer. And she, you know, there wasn't a Russian Orthodox church around, which she was a member of. So she said, okay, I could go to that church. And so he came along, and after the classes, he'd say, ooh, it always makes me so mad every time I hear that, because You know, and I say, oh, God's working on him. God's working on him. You know, just upsetting that guy, and he's causing him to doubt his doubts. Well, along came a situation where his mother was found in her house down in Texas and was taken. She was unconscious. Someone found her, and there was a big growth in the throat. And the daughter-in-law, who was a nurse, said, we got to get her to Tulsa right now. Get her, you know, Frank, you go down and get her and bring her up, because I know the doc, just the perfect doctor. And the hot, you know, the all the tests said, this is hot. I mean, this is cancer, and we do have to do something just at least to give her a little bit of relief from that. But she is dying. She's about gone. And so they brought her up, and the doctor said, okay, this is urgent. We're going to schedule surgery right now. As a matter of fact, surgery took place on a New Year's Day. And you know, try to get someone to do surgery on a New Year's Day and assemble a whole team. Not real easy to do. So I stopped by to see her before the surgery. The family had already gone down to the waiting room, and she said, basically asked me, do you believe in miracles? I said, yes, yes, I do. Okay, would you pray for a miracle? Yes, I will. Anointed her with oil, laid hands upon her, prayed that the Lord Jesus would heal her. I said, well, that's a long shot, isn't it? Yeah. Well, would Jesus heal her? So I went down to the family room and said, okay, I'm going to go back home. I got to watch some football. But when... I got my priorities, you know, pastoral priorities. Okay, so anyway, I got home and I said, okay, I said, call as soon as she gets out. I want to know how everything went. In the back of my mind, I said, wouldn't it be cool if God did a miracle? Maybe Frank would be a believer if that happened, huh? So anyway, time went by and I'm waiting and all the football games are over. And about midnight, I said, he promised he would call. So I called. I said, hey, Frank, what happened? He says, oh, we just got home. I said, well, what's the matter? Is she okay? Did she make it through the surgery? He said, well, the doctors came in, and they were puzzled. And then they brought some more doctors in. And then they brought some more doctors in, and they were puzzled. So, and they had already put her under, and they were opening her up, but there was nothing there. No cancer. Nothing there. And, of course, she recovered from the surgery. And God gave her that extra space of life, I think, for two reasons. One reason was this, that Frank, the next Sunday that he came to church, he came with joy in his heart and nodding his head. Yes, I am a believer now. Yay! And there was a little reconciling that it needed to be done in the family, and that old lady moved in with her daughter that she had been estranged from, and God gave them a whole year together. So God did. He is a very efficient God. He works several things. That's sometimes why we wait for the miracle and it doesn't happen just yet, because God's got a bunch of things on his agenda. Sometimes he's waiting for someone to come around and for this or that to be happening. Did you know, and if you're waiting for the miracle, did you know another miracle is patience? For God to give you patience as you are waiting. And of course, we do know that the ultimate miracle, the ultimate healing takes place when we get our brand new body. And I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a fantastic thing. But in the meantime, you know, just trust the Lord. So, do I know all the right words? You know, do I have do I have magic hands? Absolutely not. But I know we have a supernatural Jesus who loves us so incredibly and who wants to deal with every one of our needs. And he will do that. And he just simply says, have faith in me, just trust me, just ask. And so when Connie came home from the doctor one time and she said, well, not real good news today. The doctor said, we got to do a little procedure on your heart because there's some kind of a calcification or something, and it's not fun, and you know, and they're going to have to send that thing up into your body, and then you're going to scrape away. And I said, oh, I don't. And I just Well, what'll happen? Well, I may just die. Oh. And I just, you know, put my hand on her and I just said, Jesus, could you just make Connie better? And I didn't have anything fancy to say. She went in for the procedure and they said, what are you here for? There isn't anything wrong. God, you know, the simplest, the most, even most childlike trusting, you know, puts us in a position. Faith is the receiving end of the miracles that God really wants to do in your lives. Isn't he a great God? Yeah. Doesn't he just love us so much? And his coming into this world as our Savior, giving his life on the cross, raising from the dead, says nothing is impossible. Everything is possible with him. And so we just trust him for that. Faith that just operates in the everydays of our lives. Well, I guess that brings us about to the end. So what do you want to take home with you? Just trust, just faith. Just know how gracious God is, and that God is always watching you. He's looking after you, and he loves you more than you love him. He loves you more than you love yourself. He is wiser than you are. He's stronger than you are. Just why not put it all in his hands? Let's pray. Father, we do want to put it all in your hands. Everything that we are. And Lord, where our faith gets a little bit dim and when things seem to be so impossible, oh, Heavenly Father, reach out with your gracious love and bring to us that help from on high that we need. We thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.